we're thrilled to have you here today and trust you've come to worship the Lord. Would you join me in standing? We're going to go ahead and begin our service in a word of prayer. And then stay standing as we have the hymnal open. We'll be singing a well-known Christmas hymn, Joy to the World, as we're here at this Christmas season. Let's begin our service in prayer. Father, we're so thrilled to be here today on this, the Lord's Day. I pray we don't take for granted, Lord, the gathering together of believers on this Sunday. Lord, we're so grateful for those who are here. Lord, probably some watching from home by way of live stream. Lord, we understand that this is a busy, busy time of year. Lord, the weather's changing. A lot of times sickness comes and goes through families. Lord, we know there's a lot of, sometimes some added stress with all the work that's going on in their school and end of the year projects. And Lord, there's Christmas events and Lord, many things that are going on. And so, Lord, I know that folks are no doubt weary and tired, but Lord, I pray today you would sustain them. I pray, Lord, we know for saved, you're our strength, you're our shield, our fortress, our deliverer. Lord, we go to you, we run to you for strength. Lord, we go to you for joy of the Lord. And Lord, we know today that if we're here where we ought to be, then Lord, that we can be filled with your Spirit and trust you to guide us and direct us. Lord, I pray we would sing from our heart for the Lord. Lord, well-known Christmas hymns that sometimes we'll sing the words and really not even pay attention to the doctrinal truth that is being taught about who Christ is or Christ's second coming. Or salvation on the cross. And Lord, I pray we'd sing today, not only our lips, but our heart and our mind. Lord, we know we have several in here that, Lord, are grieving and sorrowful, Lord. And Lord, whether a recent passing of a loved one or, Lord, perhaps even today, the visitation, Lord, we know those are challenging times. Lord, we pray you would carry the family, encourage them, strengthen them, and they sorrow and grieve. May they open the Word of God and find truths from the Scripture that will help them, Lord. May they lean on you, Lord, I pray, for you are able to handle that. Lord, we give you the glory today. May all that's done from this opening hymn to everything we do and say, to how we hear the Word of God, to how I preach and everything, Lord, be done to please and honor you. We ask all these things in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Stay standing as Shane comes.
All right, and that's going to be hymn number 194, Joy to the World.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him role. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their song employ, the tales and play. Repeat the sounding joy. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns in Far as the curse is found, He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes a nation grow.
The glory of
His righteousness, and wonders of His love.
Thank you so much. You may be seated.
Oh,
Thank you, choir. At this time, we're going to take our psalm books and turn to 196. And we're going to stand together as we sing, and the choir is going to come down to join you. Angels, we have heard on high, 196 in that hymnal.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echo back their joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Thank you. We're going to take our hymn books one last time in singing here before the message. 201. And we'll remain seated as we sing 201. O come, all ye faithful. Up a little bit different. Going to do second verse a cappella and the chorus, all right? And then the instruments will join us on the third. Here we are.
Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Oh, sing, all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God, oh glory in the highest. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
On the last,
yea, Lord, we greet thee on this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be all glory given. God of the Father, now in flesh appear. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
Wonderful singing. Just for the message, we do a special music this morning.
From his father, praise him for his breath.
So good to have you here. There should be a Bible handy. If you don't have a Bible or left yours at home, there's a pew Bible there, dark blue, you can grab. I encourage you to pull out a Bible, whether yours or the pew Bible, open it up and see for yourself what God has to say. All right? Don't take my word for granted. I have feet of clay. I'm a vessel like the Lord. I'm a sinner, but I'm going to preach the word of God today. You open the Bible. You'll never know if what I'm saying is true or not, though, if you don't have a Bible open and follow it. You'll just have to guess. You'll have to base it on what people say, what you've heard. But you'll not know for sure unless you have a copy of the Scriptures, the Word of God, which we have today and have the wonderful privilege to have in our language, where over 7,000 languages in the world don't have it. Several billion people in America, not in the world, do not have a Bible. So let's not take for granted. Just let it there. Open up. Make sure, like we've said the last few days, if you have a cell phone, silence that there for us, and that will not distract you or me during the preaching of the Word of God. Matthew 24, first book of the New Testament. Matthew 24. So we're going to start here this morning. If you do need to use a pew Bible, that's going to be toward the back, probably the back one-fourth of the Bible, page 1381. That'll get you there. 1381 in the pew Bible if you want to borrow that here this morning. 1381. Matthew 24. Now, we're only going to read Matthew 24 as an intro. We're not going to even come back to Matthew 24. And we'll primarily be today in the book of John, which is not too far away. We'll have you turn to a couple spots. I'd encourage you to follow with me. It's okay if you don't know where the books are at, or if you're a little slow, don't let that dismay you. And don't get discouraged. You can follow along from the Word of God. But if that does dismay you, that's why you pull out a pen or pencil and you take some notes, jot these references down. And if for some reason we read it before you got there, you can always go back today, this afternoon, and read them for yourself, see what the Word of God says. All of our services are broadcasted, taped, videoed, whatever you want to call it. So if you're not here, you can always go through our church website or our YouTube page and watch the service. If you're working in a children's class or you're here today, you're a little sleepy and you didn't really, you can always go back and watch it. You can watch it with your spouse, your family. You can take notes. You can do all of that at any time. And so let me encourage you to take advantage of that if need be. Matthew 24 today. In order to understand where we're reading here, we need to understand a little bit of what's going on. Jesus Christ is close to the cross. He's getting close to Calvary. He's already withdrawn largely from the crowds. The Jews, by and large, have rejected him. He's had his final questioning, if you would, from the hostile groups in chapter 22. Chapter 23 is one of the most scathing chapters in the entire Bible. Words that scathing rebuke to the religious hypocrites, the religious crowd, those who were spiritual. Jesus Christ speaks to them in strong language in chapter 23. And as he concludes chapter 23, which should be right there on your page, he finishes in verse 37. So actually, we're going to
before we get into chapter 24, we're going to read the last three verses of chapter 23. Christ sort of finishes his scathing rebuke, if you would, at the religious hypocrites, and says, verse 37, Matthew 23, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." Ye would not. Let that never be said of you or me. "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." He's talking about the temple and the city. "For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." Now chapter 24 just continues. "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." So they're walking to the Mount of Olives, the garden. And now the temple was an incredible building. This is the second temple. This is the one built by Zerubbabel in the book of Haggai and Ezra. This is one that King Herod spent over 40 years enlarging. But it still is Zerubbabel's temple, although it doesn't look the same. It is a magnificent structure. And the disciples are sort of like, "Wow, look at, you know, Lord, look at how magnificent this building is." And they're showing him the temple as they walk. And Jesus says, verse 2 of Matthew 24, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now what if you were one of the disciples? They didn't say another word. Oh, what is he talking? And they continue to the Mount of Olives, like a garden where Jesus often went. Now this is going through the men's minds, and you can see that in verse number 3. And this will be our final verse from Matthew. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying..." They're thinking about everything that Jesus had just said. They're thinking about when he talked about, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would have only repented, if you would have only received me, I would have been like a mother hen with her chickens, but ye would not." And then when the disciples are bragging about the temple, and the Lord says basically that one day coming, there will not one stone be left upon another from this temple. It will be ruined. And that's in their minds. And so they ask a series of questions. You know, it's the same questions that people ask today. It's the same questions that are on TV documentaries, YouTube videos galore, Time Magazine and Life, which are still produced and in grocery stores. Which often at this time will have a picture of Jesus on it. Or Christmas and questions. And the same questions are being asked today, verse 3. "They came to him privately saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" You are probably, some of you, asking those same questions. Your coworkers, you have neighbors, maybe your children. You wonder, boy, what's going on in the world? Now you have to be careful, because many people just, they don't turn to the Bible much anymore. They turn to all kinds of other things to read. And interesting, and you can find millions of things available at the great buffet of Google. Just like most buffets, most not good for you. The things that are good we tend to avoid. Oh, that's not where we ought to be turning for answers. The disciples turn to Christ, and they're curious because the Lord has been talking about things that are going to happen down the road, and they were astounded, and they said, "Lord, when? What are you talking about? Are there going to be some signs? When's the end of the world?" And then the Lord enters into what's often called the Olivet Discourse, chapters 24 and 25, some of the most misunderstood, misinterpreted scriptures in all the Bible for believers. We're not going to get into that, though, today, right now, this morning. Perhaps tonight, perhaps in upcoming services. Just remember, we have Jewish men asking Jesus Jewish questions. The church has not begun, and the rapture hasn't even been introduced. So Christ's answers that come next year are not dealing with the rapture. He's talking to the Jews about the Jews, and he's talking about his second coming, which is after the 7-year tribulation period. But that's for another time and another study. I want to focus on the questions the men asked. "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Now, if someone came to you and asked you those questions, what would you say? Would you have any answers for him? Would you say, as a child of God, I can answer those. Not of my own knowledge, like Daniel would say, or Joseph, but I know a God. God's given us the answers. Now, these men were asking good questions, and Christ didn't rebuke them, and he gave them long answers. But I want you to know, their questions were focused on the future. Lord, when's that going to happen? What's going to happen down the road? What are going to be some of those signs? I want to draw us back today. I want to focus on today rather than down the road. I want to preach a message entitled, it's the same title as one of our hymns, What If It Were Today? Simple title, not my own title. Again, we could turn to the hymn book and we could sing that. Many of you know the song, What If It Were Today? That's the title. I want to look at that. I want to focus on the word today. Not what's going to happen tomorrow, or how about 2025, or what about 100 years from now, or 10 years from now, or 5 years from now, or so-and-so said this is going to happen. I want to focus on today, this present day, right here today, December 8th, 2024, the year of our Lord, today. What if it were today? I have 3 points today to answer it. What if it were today? Number one, it is referring to death. What if it were today? What if you died today? Well, we all want to know about the unknown. Well, what's going to happen down the road? Go back 24, 25 years, right? 1999. What's going to happen at Y2K? What's going to happen? Now, for the believer, we should have approached that without any fear or trembling, knowing the scriptures, all right? Oh, my word, it's going to happen. Or the calendar other cultures, or what's going to happen? You know, we always are focused on down the road, and what's going to happen if the dates and the calendars and the numbers and these sites I've read and the books I've seen and speakers and say, but what about today? Today, what if it were today? What do you mean? What if it were today? I'm asking you, what if you died today, December 8th? Today. What if today were the day of your departure from this earth? What if today was the day that you died? Do you know where you would spend eternity? Now, don't brush that off. I want you to answer that right now in your mind. And someone should have the right, if you give an answer, to ask you why you answered that. Do you know where you would spend eternity if today you died? Do you know it? Know it. Know it means 100%. It's okay if you say, I don't know that. I'm 50% sure. I'm 80% sure. 95% sure. I'm not sure at all. Do you know where you would spend eternity? Number two, do you know if you would go to heaven or hell? Because you might know where you would spend eternity. It may not always be heaven. Do you know it? Do you know if you would go to heaven or hell? Do you know if your sins have been forgiven? That's a different kind of question, isn't it? There's a lot of people that will say, yeah, I'm going to heaven. I think I'm going to go to heaven. I'm pretty sure I'm going to go to heaven. I mean, I'm pretty confident. Who knows? Nobody can know. I'm asking you today, December 8th, do you know if your sins have been forgiven? I mean, do you know it? Are you confident that they either have or they haven't? Hebrews 9:27 says, is appointed unto men once to die. Life, you got one chance at it. God gives us life. It's a gift from God. He's the creator. None of us know when that life could end. None of us. Not one person knows except God. We get one opportunity to live our lives for God. We don't know when we're going to die, but the Bible does say it's appointed unto men once to die. We get one time then. I'm asking you today, what if it were today? Now, perhaps you answered like many people, well, preacher, nobody can know. Nobody can know for sure. You know, are you saying, a lot of times people like to do that, are you saying you are 100% sure what would happen to you? When I say yes. And that's not being cocky. Yes. Someone says, do you know what 2 + 2 is? I say, yeah, I do know that. Quit being cocky. No. I know what that is. How do you know that? Well, let me tell you why. All right? There's some laws and rules on that. Let me tell you what the Bible says. Absolutely, you can know. If you're here today and you say, no one can know for sure, I want to say to you as a preacher, that's a lie. That's not true. You're saying then that God's a liar. You're saying when Jesus Christ offered eternal life that you cannot know that. The whole Bible lets us know that it is absolutely possible for you and I to know for sure where we're going to spend eternity. Would you turn with me now? You're in Matthew. You're going to go to your right about three books. You're going to go through Mark, Luke, and you're going to go to the book of John. Shouldn't be that many pages. Go to the book of John, chapter number 5. Take a little journey with me. We're going to read about four passages here. Four passages of Scripture fairly quickly. You can mark them down. You can jot them. You want to go back and revisit them. You can jot them down on a piece of paper and read them for yourself a little slower. Let's see if the words of Jesus have any room for doubt, like, well, no one can really know. It's this giant mysterious thing that, well, you do the best you can. You take the path you try, and hopefully one day, those words are not in Scripture. The Lord Jesus never speaks about that. None of those kind of things ever defined a true Bible-believing Christian. Well, nobody can ever really know. It's a great, you know, it's like going to the casino and rolling and hoping it's just a game of chance. You know, it's just flipping a coin and hoping. Nobody knows. No, that's not true. That's a lie. There's only two eternal destinies, and everybody's going to spend somewhere forever. Everybody. There's only two eternal destinies. It's heaven or hell. We'll spend eternity there, and you and I can absolutely know it. John 5:24. You tell me if this sounds like you can know it or not. Jesus says, John 5:24, verily, and by the way, verily, verily means truly, truly. It means bank on it. 100%, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Now that sounds like you might have eternal life. You might not pass into condemnation. Hopefully you're going to pass, and that's a surety based on the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ, God himself. John chapter 10, verse number 9. You're just taking a little journey to your right here as you're flipping pages. John chapter 10. I trust the word of God will become so familiar with you that those pages will be well worn. They know exactly where to turn, all right? John 10:9. Notice again, let's start in verse number 8 to get the context. John 10:8. Jesus speaking again. Then said Jesus unto them again. Here it is again. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, speaking here about heaven, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Not might be saved, not hope to be saved. He said, I am, you will be. Wow, I mean, that's definitive. Later in that same chapter, John 10, look at verses 27 to 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. The shepherd knows his sheep. I know them, and they follow me. Can I ask you today, are you following the Lord? His sheep follow him. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one, one and the same. And the Jews knew exactly what he was saying. He was saying he was God himself, because the next verse they pick up stones to stone him. That's blasphemy. All right? What is he saying? That's verses of surety. Not, I hope, I think, I'm not sure. Nobody can really know. You absolutely can know. John chapter 20, right toward the end of the book. John chapter 20, you're continuing to turn the Bible, seeing what the Bible has to say. Remember, we're not interested in you hearing what Preacher Boyer has to say. I'm not looking for followers. I'm not interested in you following me, all right? I want you to follow the Bible, and that's what I follow, the Word of God. What does the Lord have to say? If you leave today, you ought not be mad at the preacher if the preacher's preaching the Word of God. You'll be mad at the Word of God. Your decision's not with me, it's with the Bible. Am I going to believe what the Bible says? Not what does he say. What does the Bible say? Your issue's with God. God's either true or God's a liar. John 20, 30, 31. And many other signs, truly, did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, John 20, 31, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's a surety. That's not a might, a hope, I think so, I take my chances. That is absolute. You can know it through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're going to do a big jump here. You're going to go to 1 John. All right, now that's almost at the very back of your Bible. Would you turn there with me? You're going to go to 1 John chapter 5. So you're going to go almost to the very back of your Bible. And if you're at the back, it's going to be the book of Revelation will be the last book. And you want to be, you're near it. You're near it, all right? You're going to go to 1 John. You say, wait a minute. If there's a John, why isn't that John the 1 John? All right? If we turn to John, it has to be the 1 John. This has got to be 2 John. You know, then you're going to get off on rabbit trails, all right? Just turn to 1 John. It's 1 John because it's the first of the three little epistles in the general epistles, all right? Not in the Gospels, all right? 1 John chapter number 5. 1 John chapter number 5. Now, it's written by the same John, though, by the way, all right? John, the apostle. John, all right, disciple of the Lord. He's the same author, just a different little group at a different time. 1 John chapter number 5. Let's read verses 11 through 13. And you tell me in your mind if this sounds like you can know it or not know it. By the way, it's all based on God. Is the character of God such that you cannot know it? And so you go your entire life unsure. Is that God's character? Is that the God that you know? Maybe you don't know the God of the Bible. Is that what God? You just go your whole life and you do the best you can. And then at the end, let's hope you make it. Well, that's a pretty mad, miserable way to live. I'm not really sure if God loves me. I don't really know if I'm part of His family. I don't really know if I did enough today. I don't really know. Oh, I just got to take your chances one day. What kind of God would do that? That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible fully revealed it. You can know it. I sent my Son. I've given you the Word of God. You can absolutely know it. 1 John 5, look at verse 11 through 13. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's not. It doesn't say this life is in the church or in baptism or it's in any works or deeds that you and I do. It's in a person. It's in the Son. He, by the way, verse 12 is one of the most simplest verses in all the Bible. It's written at about a first grade level. I don't think there's anything longer than four letters. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. That summarizes really the entire Bible right there. The question is, do you have the Son? If you've got the Son, you've got to, you say, well, who's the Son? 1 John answers that. The Son is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we come to that great verse, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? Know that ye have eternal life. And this and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I want you to know, based on the Word of God, every single person can know that their sins have been forgiven. And that they have eternal life through Jesus Christ. Absolutely, you can know it. You can know it and not have to struggle with it. You can know it as sure as the Bible is true. You can know it. But here's the key. You've got to be willing to admit and acknowledge your need of being saved. It's not just adding Jesus to all your other beliefs. It's just not saying, well, I'm just going to do a safeguard. I don't necessarily believe all of that, but hey, it sounds okay to me. I mean, if it's not true, it's not true, but at least I'll have it in my back pocket just in case any of this stuff's true. So I'm just going to add Jesus to everything. That's not Bible salvation. You're not adding Jesus to anything. It's Him or nothing. It's all true or it's not true. He that hath the Son, the Lord doesn't move in and say all these other idols or gods or things are okay to be in here. No, it's me. No one else did anything. It's He that hath the Son. You've got to be willing to admit and acknowledge your need of being saved and rescued. You've got to be willing to admit that you are a sinner, lost in your sins, lost and undone before a holy God, and that no way do you deserve heaven, and no way are you have any worthiness or righteousness that would make God favor you, that you are on your way to a devil's hell based on the Word of God, and that hell and judgment await you, and you know that, and you recognize that, and that you cannot save yourself, but that the Bible says that God loved you. And God so loved the world. And God was so willing that not everyone would perish, that He provided a way of rescue, of salvation, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to earth from heaven as a baby born of the Virgin in the manger at Bethlehem, so that He could live and one day give Himself up as the Lamb of God. He who knew no sin would become sin for us on the cross and take all of the wrath of God and all of the judgment of God for sin and the death that we deserve. He took it all so that you and I can live. Is there any greater gift? Is there any greater love? And then he didn't die. He didn't just die. He rose again in his own power. And he lives forever. And he offers the invitation to come unto me. I am the door. I am the door. There are no other doors. I'm the way. There are no other ways. I alone can give you eternal life and forgive your sins because I love you. But it's a choice. No one's going to make you. It's a choice. What if it were today? Are you willing today to turn from your sin? Are you willing to turn and forsake it and come to Jesus Christ? Are you willing to call out to Him and throw all of your faith and dependence on Christ alone for salvation from sin? I'm talking to the visitors today. I'm talking about the person that's been in this church since you were a baby. I'm talking about some of you who've been serving for years. I'm talking to our teenagers. I'm talking about some who deal with struggle with assurance of salvation every single day. You're not sure. Every single day you have to work at hoping, and I hope I am. Some of you pray every day perhaps. Every single day you pray, Lord, if I'm not saved, save me, save me, save me. That's very common. You'd be amazed at how many people do that. Long-time people that you think are just, they have that, everything's great, and yet in their heart they fear, they do not know and trust and believe the Word of God. You can know it. What if it were today, if you died today? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? Number two, what if it were today? It being, what if the rapture, as I preached on last Sunday, what if the rapture occurred today? I asked you if you died today, do you know you'd spend eternity? But I want to ask you secondly, what if the rapture occurred today? What if you didn't die? What if you were here? And the rapture, when I say the rapture, I preached on this all last Sunday. The rapture is the catching away of all the redeemed, all the saved, all the believers, all who are born again. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes and calls them home. You say, I don't know what you're talking about. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, if you're visiting with us today and don't know your books of the Bible, this will be one you may struggle with, all right? 1 Thessalonians will be a little trickier to find. If there's someone near you, they can help you, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. That's going to be between John and 1 John. but there's a bunch of books there, all right? 1 Thessalonians. That's why Christmas is coming. And if a person struggles with books of the Bible, you can buy them an indexed Bible that has the tabs for the books. Right? That doesn't mean they're always going to be the fastest to find it, but that can help a believer. They can look for it there. But half the time, they're abbreviated books. So you're like, that's Thess. I'm looking for Thess, all right? So it's not as easy as you think, but stick with it. Stick with it. Some of us, I mean, we've got gumption. We've got vinegar. We've got salt. We'll go anything for the sale. But then with 10 seconds, we can't find the book of the Bible. We just quit. You ever notice how that works? I mean, we'll get up in line for Black Friday. We'll sit in a 3 foot of snow in Buffalo Bills Stadium. I tried having devotions. It didn't work. I can't find the Bible. That's done. Wow. All right. Wow. All right. We can all do what we want to do. All right. If it's something we're passionate about. Let me tell you what I'm passionate about. Maybe you know. All right. I haven't always been passionate about it, but the Word of God, the church triumphant. It's worth it. Stick with it. All right? You can learn your books of the Bible. You can learn them before the end of the year. All right? Absolutely. Don't let that stop you. Sometimes that's a good starting point. 1 Thessalonians. I've talked enough. Are you there? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verses 13 through 18. I read this last week. This was my entire text. But I want to ask you this honestly and truly. Even if you have no idea what I'm talking about. If what the Bible calls the rapture, the catching away of all those who are saved from their sins, no matter where, worldwide, that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven in the clouds with a shout, with the trump, the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ. And the Bible says that all believers will be in one split instantaneous second. Boom! I mean, boom! Removed from planet Earth. Now that sounds far-fetched. Sometimes the people that says that's far-fetched are the people who are into all the science fiction. You're like, really? That sounds far-fetched? That's all you watch and read. Well, that sounds crazy. Well, I think the devil's done a great job of getting things prepared for when this takes place. In fact, I'm fairly confident that the number one news event when this is covered will be alien abduction. I think he's laid the seeds for that for over 100 years. Well, how do you explain all these people being gone? Well, that's easy. I think he's laid the groundwork a long time. There's a lot of people that believe all that stuff, all right? I don't believe in it, but a lot of people will. You say, well, what about the rapture? I don't know if I believe that. Well, the Bible lets us know that that day is coming, and it could be any day, and it could be today. And if it happened today, and the rapture of the church, in an instantaneous twinkling of an eye, all believers were called up that were his, that were saved, that were redeemed, that were born again, I want to ask you, would you be gone? Would you be caught up with him? That's my question. If it were today, would you still be here? Or would you be in the presence of the Lamb, he who died for you? That's the question you've got to answer. What if it were today? See, we could die today, but we might not. The Lord could return today. And if he returned, 1/1000th of a second. If you're not redeemed today, you will scratch your eye when you look up. It had already happened. When you're at the red light and you're picking up something, it's already over. There's no bells and loud whistles. I don't believe that the lost world will hear it. I think it's only for the church. I don't think there's some dramatic trumpet the whole world's... It's not as sometimes portrayed. Many times we confuse the second coming with the rapture. Many of our hymns that we sing, we if you pay attention to the words, are talking about the second coming, not the rapture. In fact, Joy to the World. We sing Joy to the World. That's not a Christmas hymn, really. Go back and read it. That's the second coming of Christ when he comes to earth and reigns, all right? Nothing wrong with singing that, but that's the second coming of Christ visibly to the Mount of Olives, in person with the believers to set up the 1,000. I mean, that's the second coming. Sometimes we get those confused when we're reading the Bible. I'm talking about the rapture of the church simultaneously in a twinkling of an eye. Boom! All believers gone. Now you might say, I don't know if I believe that. That's okay if you say that. The Bible says it's true, and I believe the Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. Here's what the Bible's saying before we continue. Why is it far-fetched to believe that when the Lord wants his children, the bride, to come to heaven, he's going to bring them home? Don't you believe that he died and rose again? If you believe that he died and rose again and resurrected himself, why is it going to be hard for him to do that with his children? He's going to bring them. That's what it's saying. We believe that. We believe that's a Bible doctrine. That's a fundamental of the faith. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, here it is, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, this would be only for those who are saved. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. There's the word rapture. Shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. We'll be getting into this a little bit more tonight as we look at the Bible truth. Why I believe, this church believes, that the saved, the church, the believers, will not go through the tribulation. Number one, it'd be hard to comfort one another if we went through the tribulation. If you and I knew we were going through tribulation, there's no comfort there. That is not bringing us any comfort. Comfort and encourage one another. But there's a lot more than that. There's some fundamental truths that we're going to look at from the Word of God. But I want to ask you, whether you believe it or not, if that happened today, would you be in heaven with the Lord, or would you be left down here? Because if you were left down here, everything that happens in Revelation chapter 6 through 18 will be your world. And I say that lovingly. Everything the Bible shows in Revelation 6 through 18 and all the judgments, and it's going to happen to those that are here. I'm talking about the tribulation, a 7-year period on earth where God's wrath and judgment are poured out on mankind. I'm talking about a world where the church, and when I say the church, we're not talking about buildings. We're not talking about everybody that is a member of a church or belongs to a denomination. We're not talking about that. We're using Bible definitions. The church is a called out assembly of the redeemed. It's a body of Christ. Those who are saved. That's going to be removed. And God's going to do that for a very specific reason. Before the tribulation. And then the tribulation is going to begin. A 7-year period along the world where there's going to be someone who will present himself as Christ. As the Messiah. But he's going to be a false one. He's called the Antichrist. He's going to deceive the world. That's the tribulation period that the Bible tells us about. It's not hidden. It's been fully revealed to us. What's going to happen? Where God's wrath and judgment are poured out on earth. Where the church is ruined. Folks, you understand, at the very beginning of that, there will not be one saved person on planet earth. You think it's bad now watching the news? You know what holds back sin? Bible-believing Christians who live for God. I didn't just say every Christian now. Bible-believing Christians who love God and contend for the faith hold back sin in society and the Holy Spirit, which is in a restraining mode of keeping Satan's mystery of iniquity from happening. But the Bible says, we're going to be looking at that, that when the church is removed, the Holy Spirit will also remove himself. I hope we understand Bible truth. Christ ascended, Holy Spirit came down. That's called the age of the church. Church is removed, Holy Spirit goes back up. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit's not working, just like the Old Testament, but his restraining power is removed. That's what's kept Satan from setting up his kingdom. When that's gone, the whole dike's breaking. God tells exactly what will happen in the Word of God. Satan will have his man, and all evil will reign. Evil, violence, wickedness, death. No, there'll still be lots of churches, by the way. There'll still be lots of pastors. There'll be lots of church members who will continue on as if nothing happened because they never knew Christ. But they're not going to be holding back any sin or wickedness. All chaos is going to happen. You can read that if you'd like and see the vast majority of the world will be killed. Now, I don't know how many people are going to be gone at the rapture. Nobody knows. If I wanted to pick a number, and I'm not a prophet in any way, I would roughly say 1 billion. 1 billion, where'd you come up with that at? Well, every baby and every infant will be raptured. Every little child who's not old enough to understand the concept of sin and salvation will be raptured. Now, if you look at statistics, that's close to half a billion people in the world. You can look it up. How many babies, little ones? I mean, roughly there's 500 to 600 million of just those. Special needs, perhaps, people. The Lord understands. God's gracious and kind. The question always comes down to how many true believers are there in the world? I would say much smaller than we think. There's 8 billion people on planet Earth. If 2% were true believers, I mean 2% worldwide, knew Jesus Christ as the Bible says, that's only about 500 million. No, actually, that's only 200 million. If there's 5% are believers, that's 400 million. But I don't know what the number is, but I want you to imagine if in one millionth of a second, if the rapture happened today, 1 billion people on planet Earth are gone? You know that's going to be all in the news. You know that's... What in the world are people going to say? What are the news... How are they going to explain that? Are they going to talk to divinity experts from colleges? Are they going to talk to pastors who are left behind that don't know the Lord? Are they going to talk to scientists who have reasons for everything, right? They're going to use man's logic to explain what must have happened. They're going to use psychologists and all the experts of the world. They're going to experts in science fiction and UFOs and other planets. I mean, they're going to have answers. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians, those left behind are going to believe the lie. Or maybe it was society's worst that were removed. It was people who didn't deserve to be here anyways. There was something, I don't know why they're all gone, but I mean, can you imagine that? Every society, every nation, every part of life, homes and buildings, emptied cars and things. You and I won't be worried about our money and bank accounts and cars and trucks. The world will be full of full chaos. Do I say that? Are we trying to scare anybody into heaven? Absolutely not. You need to be saved because you know you're a sinner. The Lord Jesus loves you and died for you. But I'll tell you what, though, the rapture is a Bible doctrine. It's fundamental. One of the things that motivates us to live for the Lord, to look for His return, to contend for the faith, to not grow weary in well-doing, to always be abounding in the work of the Lord, to understand why the church is here and what the commission is, and that souls hang in the balance. The rapture could happen at any moment. The question is, for you, what if it were today? That would be nice to just say, I don't believe all that baloney. That's a good way to get out of a lot of stuff. What do you believe if you don't believe that? We just die. Where'd you come up with that at? I don't think there's any. You got to have a belief. I don't mind talking with you about it, but where'd you come up with all that? Give us some truth on that. Show us what you believe and how you believe and where you came up with it. Give us something foundational that we know that you believe that. Or is it just something you heard someone say? It's okay if you don't believe the Bible's true, but you investigate it for yourself. You read it. You study it. You put it to the test. God's not afraid. You show us something better than that. It's the Word of God. It's true. Everything that's been prophesied in the past that has happened has come exactly as God said. Everything that is yet to happen will happen exactly as He says it. Because it is the Word of God. And He's given it to us so that you and I know what's going to happen. No believer should be afraid of the future. None. The believer knows what's going to happen. The believer should have confidence that the believer will be removed, not because we deserve it, because of God's mercy and love. Because Christ took all the wrath on the cross. What if it were today? If it being your death. What if it were today, being the rapture, my third, and we're finished? You say, what could be left? What if it were today? What if today was the day, as a saved person, you stood in the presence of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ? You're saved. You're in heaven. That's where all believers go. But the Bible says that we're going to give an account of ourselves to the Lord. There's two judgments. There's the judgment of believers, the judgment seat of Christ. There's the judgment of unbelievers, which sometimes shocks people. I thought you just died and go to hell. A judgment of unbelievers called the Great White Throne Judgment. Those are not the same. There's no line. There's no movie line where we stand in line. Everybody, the massive humanity. And there's one big book, and then he says, oh, you go over here. You go, no, no. Now, there's a judgment of nations, which sometimes portrayed that, sheep and the goats, but that's not the judgment of believers. We're going to stand before the Lord individually by ourselves. I don't believe your spouse will be there, your friends will be there, I don't believe any siblings will be there, your parents will be there. I believe it's you, me, before God. The Lord Jesus Christ, who loved me and died for me and saved me, I'm going to stand before Him as His child, and I'm going to give Him an account. I'm going to ask you, what if that were today? What if that were today? Are you ready for that? And this is for the believer. Are you ready for that? What would Jesus Christ say to you during that few moments as He spoke to you? Would you and I be sobbing, great sobs of tears, of regret, as we stand before the One who died for us, knowing that we hadn't really obeyed what He wanted? What's it going to be like? I mean, it's for every one of us to answer that. The Bible makes it clear in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, speaking of believers. Each one of us shall give an account of ourselves before the Lord as believers. So as a saved child of God, as I finish this morning, I want to ask you a question. What if it were today? You might be like, okay, hey, I'm saved. I don't got to worry about dying. I'm saved. I don't got to worry about the rapture. I'm all good. Well, praise God, we're going to go to heaven, but we're going to stand before Him. Please don't overlook that and think that's just not a big deal. That's talked a lot about in the Scriptures. That's a key Bible doctrine. I am going to stand before my Savior and give an account. He had the seven churches give an account. He's going to speak in probably like manner. He's going to commend, or he's going to say, I have a few things against thee. Or I have a lot of things against thee. So I want to ask you, child of God, right now, today, if we stood before the Lord, are you right with God? Come on, teenagers, I'm asking you, are you right with God? People that usually aren't right with God get all huffed and puffed about that question. Then they start asking, what does that mean? I mean, are you right with God? Are you in right standing? Are you in fellowship with your Father? Is there anything between you and the Savior? I'm asking you, child of God, is there any sin right now today, unconfessed or unacknowledged? I'm asking you, are there any sins of the heart, sins of the mind, sins of the spirit that you're harboring? I'm asking you, is there anything between you and Christ? Anything? Are you lying, stealing, cheating? Are you involved in any form of fornication? Immorality? I'm talking to the believer now. Homosexuality, adultery, pornography. Come on, child of God, I'm asking you. I'm not asking anybody around you. Are you angry or bitter against any other child of God? I'm asking you. You're going to stand before God, not me. I don't know the heart. I'm asking you, when you stand before the Lord, will you be standing before Him in unresolved anger and bitterness that He pled with you to get right with God and forgive? Have you slandered any child of God? Any defamed anybody, gossiped, spoken against any brother or sister in Christ, and that's unconfessed, unforgiven, and you're holding on to that? Are you involved in alcohol, drugs, nicotine, any other addictions or vices of this world that you're holding on to? I'm asking you. Are you unfaithful, uninterested, uninvolved in this church, God's church, as a believer? Is your heart toward biblical things? Is it toward worldly things? Has your heart been turned away like Solomon with his worldly wives? Are you a child of God that just has a cold heart? It's just cold. It's just cold and dead. It's proud, it's stubborn, it refuses to submit to God. Holy Spirit pricks your heart and you never do anything about it. Hardened, calloused, critical, unkind, unthankful. That's just you. You can stay that way. Don't change for me. I'm asking you, if it were today, right now, today, why would any believer carry that with them, knowing they're going to stand before the One who loved them and died for them? And the Holy Spirit probably convicted you and I of these again and again, pleading with us softly and silently, get this right with God. Uncover this. Why won't you receive forgiveness? Why, child of God, are you holding on to this? I have to answer that, and you have to answer it. As we finish this morning, if you can answer yes to any of those questions, I just ask as a child of God, are you, yes, yeah, I do have some of those. Yes, what are you afraid of? If you trusted Christ for all of eternity and you put your faith in Him to save you and to remove all of your sins and you believe you received eternal life, why, child of God, can't you take the same step of faith today as His child? Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Abba, Father. He already knows it. They're not hiding anything from Him. He knows all of that. He wants you to humbly come to Him and confess it and forsake it and uncover it and let the Lord heal. Get back to where God wants you. Or you can walk out and be the way you always were. I'm asking today, what if it were today? Today, December 8th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. What if it were today? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We'll just have another minute or two. I appreciate your attention. Many times, the life-changing decision God wants you to make is made right now between the conclusion of the message and the invitation. Some people, when they have the mental aspect of closing their Bibles and putting away notes, their mind goes everywhere. I've got to get the children. What about where we're going after? And right now is the moment where the Spirit of God has pricked your heart. Right now is when the battle takes place. Between pride and humility. Between God and what does everybody think? Between I love my sin more than I love God. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not changing for anybody. Or I'm not ready today. I've got too many things I've got to do in life. and you listen to the lie of the serpent, he says, do it tomorrow. That's always a good time, tomorrow. For you may not be here tomorrow. The Lord always says, today's today. His grace is sufficient. Moms and dads, maybe you've been praying for a child, and yet God's been praying for you. Maybe the child hasn't gotten right because dad hasn't gotten right, mom hasn't gotten right. Maybe everyone's right with God. That would be awesome. What a church that would be, including myself. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to have a word of invitation. Father, I pray now, please work. I've preached what you've laid on my heart. I have no idea who would come this morning, Lord. You knew who would come. Take the word of God, Holy Spirit. Prick hearts now, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Our pianist is beginning to play. Having what's called a time of invitation, this can be a scary time. This is where the battle is often lost. This is where fear sets in, the fear of man that brings a snare. This is where the pride rears its ugly head, says, don't you move. You don't need to move. You sit right there and do what you always do. Just do it in your head. And oftentimes it never changes, does it? Right where you were 5 years ago. Right where you were last year. Last week, when the Holy Spirit pricked your heart. God resists the proud, but gives grace unto the humble. He gives grace unto the humble. I want to ask today, who's going to humble themselves before the Lord? It takes great humility to go to a person and say, I need to talk to you. I have been so bitter against you. I have defamed you, slandered you, gossiped you. You may not even know it, but I've done it. Please forgive me. That takes great humility. Most people will never do it. It takes great humility to confess to someone else, that a spouse, that they've been dabbling in immorality, pornography on the side. They go to a boss and say, I've been lying and cheating and stealing. It's easier to keep it covered up and keep it silent. Who wants anybody in the church to think that anybody has any problems? We're all good Christians. No one's got a problem here today. And yet we know that's not true. We all are the same. Oh, if God's worked in your heart, Christian, would you come to the altar and get that right with God? Would you go to your child, go to your parent, go to your friend and get that right? If you need to be saved today, oh, we can help you today. You can slip out right now and go to the back. We've got men and women in the back right now with a Bible, with a smile that can take you and answer any questions you have about the Bible, about the rapture, about salvation. Would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to call upon the Lord right now? Would you be willing to say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I want to call upon the Lord. I'm not sure where I'd spend eternity if I died today. If the rapture came today, I don't know if I'd go. If I stood before the Lord today, it would be awful. It would be terrible. Then why put it off, believer? Why put it off, lost person? Would you get that right with God? Shane's going to come and sing. I pray the Holy Spirit will have His way. I'm here at the front if I can pray with you, if I can counsel with you. There's men and women at the back. Would you do business with God?
My Lord will come, it may be soon.
Do it right away. The Holy Spirit's pricking. Do it now. Take a step of faith.
Morning, night, or noon.
He'll go with you. He'll help you.
Till then I'll watch and work and pray.
If God's laid someone on your heart today, maybe you need to go over to him and tap him and say, hey, I can go with you. It's okay.
To stay. Maybe today.
Who's God working on today? I think God's working on a gentleman. A lady, a mom or dad. Don't fight him.
Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe today from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come and I will go home. It may be today.
Oh, if it were today, folks, are you right with God? He's going to continue to sing.
My Lord will come, I know not when, but this is sure, He'll come again. With eager eyes, I look for Him. In His presence, new joy will begin. Maybe today my Lord will come for me. Maybe today my Savior I shall see. Maybe be today, from sin I shall be free. Jesus will come, and I will go home, it may be today.
Many a person has said in their heart, if they only give one more stanza. Many a wrestling match with the Holy Spirit. Pianist is just going to continue to play one last time. Folks, don't gamble with God. Don't roll the dice and assume you've got tomorrow. You've got a week to straighten everything out. It'll be okay. God loves you with everlasting love. If He spoke to you today, you and I are accountable for that. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, you laid it on my heart. Lord, I'm a sinner just like each person in here today. I struggle. I have my sins. I have my faults. Lord, there's times I must get right with you. Father, I pray if there be any hidden sin, any secret sin, any presumptuous sin in my life, your Spirit would reveal it. Lord, as the preacher, I preached the Word of God just as you gave it to me. I believe I handled the Word of God properly and rightly divided it. Lord, I'm not responsible for what every person does. Each person will stand before you and give an account. If today was the first time they ever heard the gospel and they rejected it, they're going to give an account of that. Lord, if they've heard the gospel for years and have rejected it, they're going to give an account of that. Lord, if they're living a life as a Christian of one of worldliness and carnality, they're going to answer for that. And they're never going to be able to shake their fist and say, God, you didn't give me a chance. Lord, you've given them many chances. You've given me many chances. Lord, I'm so grateful that any time I've humbled myself before you, as hard as that may be, you've given me grace. Lord, if there's anyone today who has resisted the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray in love that you would not give them rest today until they get right with God. If there's anyone here today that's lost in their sins, that has resisted the calling of the Holy Spirit, oh Lord, in your mercy, would you give them another day? Take not their life, Lord, I pray. Extend your mercy. Oh Lord, we love you. What a privilege to rest in the assurance of salvation and the security we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray today would be a wonderful day of rest and fellowship. Lord, if today's a day of wrestling and being irritable and grouchy and grumpy, that we'll often know why that's like if we're a Christian. We grieve the Holy Spirit. We're having to work to manufacture spirituality. Oh, Lord, we love you. We're so thankful that you're a gracious, forgiving God. Now, Lord, if there's anyone here today that's struggling that we can help, I pray they'd come by the line and let my wife and I know that. Let Shane and Katie know that. Let someone in the church that's a believer know that so we can help them and pray with them. Lord, we all struggle. I'm so glad we belong to the family of God if we're saved and you've given us your word. Now, Lord, we ask your blessing. Dismiss us now in your love. Thank you for those that are visiting with us for the first time or the first time in a while. Oh, Lord, may we be excited to come back tonight to assemble together, to be under the preaching of the word of God, to learn more about the church and the tribulation, Lord, and what confidence we can have, to hear songs sung from the heart, to fellowship with one another. Lord, I pray we'll do our due diligence to do all we can to be back tonight. We'll ask your blessing now as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just before you dismiss, Shane and Katie are going to be at that back door. If you slip out that way, they'd love to meet you and greet you. My wife and I will be at this back door. We'd love to meet and greet you. If you don't like any of us, you have this door as your only option. All right? Well, please don't do that. All right? But seriously. It's good to have some visitors. It's good to have Bobby and Afton. It's so great to see Miss Barbara, Charlie. Please stay, fellowship one with another. We love you. Hope to see you tonight. God bless.